Welcome into the Godly Young Men Podcast, episode 158. Today we are discussing disciplining kids. This is something that Will put together a really good outline. We're really passionate about this. I don't know if everybody is, but before we get to that, we just wanted a quick announcement. We are going to be at Challenge Youth Conference, CYC, in Pigeon Forge, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Which is February 20th through the 22nd. We're going to be there. We got a booth. We got merch.
It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yep. So swing by if you get a chance, and come visit the booth and grab. I think we're going to have free stickers, and then we're going to have at least three items we are giving away, and we're also selling a very limited number of shirts.
Yes.
And so we printed, I think, we're just trying to feel it out. We weren't sure how big it's going to go, but I think we printed like 30 shirts total. But come on by, and we'll sell you one of those, and we'd love to meet you.
I know a lot of you might not know what CYC or Challenge Youth Conference is. There's like 10,000 people that go. It's a good amount. For those that this message applies to, if you're in the area, if you're planning on going, be sure to stop by and say hi. We will be there Friday and Saturday for sure.
Absolutely. So with that, let's get into the episode. And Will, again, you're the one that puts on the outline. You're the one that decided to talk about it. So get us into
it. This is one of those that, as we have ever so often, I really enjoy it when we do, because typically these are more, stout episodes, if you will. Like, it's one of those where it's like, I can't believe we haven't talked about this yet, or at least devoted a full episode to it. I'm sure we've talked about it. And that is discipline. Disciplining your kids. Disciplining, spanking, you know, can you spank your kids? All those questions. We're going to get to all those. You know, Joe said, like, I think that, I don't know if this is interesting to everybody else. I feel like for young men, this is a pretty interesting conversation because of the differing viewpoints in the world on discipline, specifically disciplining young kids. And then obviously, that's one of the things we want to explore with this episode is, what is the path of discipline? 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 8-year-old, 13-year-old, 16-year-old. Like, what does that look like? Obviously, you know, full transparency, Joe and I are, his oldest is 7, my oldest is 4. So we are going to be most experts, I guess, on the earliest stage of kind of discipline and maybe that middle ground. But we don't have a ton of experience. I shouldn't say a ton. We don't have any experience ourselves. Obviously, we were teenagers at one point, of what it's like to discipline teenagers, or even what it's like to discipline young adolescent kids. And so it's going to be a really interesting discussion, I hope. It's a really, really important topic, I think, to discuss. It's one of the bigger conversations that you at least should have with somebody that you're looking at marrying.
Oh, no doubt.
This should not be a, you know, post engagement, 3 weeks of the wedding. Hey, so what do you think about this? Like, this needs to be one that you have, you know, fairly early on. What are your thoughts? Because there's a wide range of disagreement about discipline.
Yeah. I mean, if you're marrying somebody and she's like majorly into gentle parenting and, you know, we're never going to spank and you're very much into corporal punishment, that's a huge disagreement, because it's not just like, oh, well, we'll figure it out when we get there. No, that's a massive philosophy shift on how to handle kids, on what you think is best for your kid. And I work with a ton of parents that get here, and discipline is different, and it creates a lot of challenges in the marriage. But I've also worked with a lot of families. I've worked with that age demographic of anybody from, I started an agency called Griffith Centers for Children, kids from 3-4 years old all the way up to 18, and the various challenges that they had. And man, there's a lot of challenges in disciplining kids, especially as you get older. But one thing I wanted to say real fast is, this is not just a woman-led thing. And I think a lot of people go, oh, I'll just let my wife decide. We talk about this a lot.
Especially with younger kids.
Correct. Especially on the younger, like, oh, well, she's going to be doing most of it. I'll just kind of let her decide. That's true. She will be doing most of it, especially if she's a stay-at-home mom. She'll be doing a lot of that. But we, as godly young men, have to be taking the leadership role in the home, have to be setting that culture, setting that tone. A big part of that is in establishing, how do we discipline kids around here? That is part of the culture. What we see in the culture right now is a lot of absent dads, or dads that are just kind of checked out and aloof, or actually statistics are saying dads are more involved than ever, but I don't think they're ready to lead because they just look at it as, well, moms naturally know better. That's not always true.
This was really, really bad. Gen X kids to millennials, essentially. Like, or Gen X parents to millennial kids,
correct,
essentially, you know, dad was pretty aloof, pretty checked out. On that, I'm really glad you put that on here, Joe, because one of the things, I put this at the end of the outline, but I'm going to go ahead and bring it in now. Ephesians 6, verse 4, I'm sure I brought it up before, Paul makes a exhortation, if you will, to fathers, and he says, you know, you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as we've talked about before, as I'm sure we have, he doesn't say parents, he doesn't even address mothers there, even though mothers, of course, are involved. He addresses it to fathers.
Yeah.
Don't provoke your children to wrath, or bring them up in the training and the nurture and admonition of the Lord. us as fathers, us as leaders of our home, but specifically as fathers to our kids, we are going to have the most influence on whether or not our kid at 27 years old is a faithful Christian or not. You just will. Yep. You have the most influence, and a lot of that is discipline related. We've talked about that principle before of us as fathers having a huge influence. But we haven't talked a ton about discipline. So discipline, again, just plays a huge role into, are you bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Paul talks about in Ephesians 6.
We have a lot of guys that abdicate that role because our next episode is going to be on controlling emotions, what to do with that. And I think there's a lot of dads that, honestly, they feel like, well, the mom's a little more checked. She kind of understands. She's read the books. Mm. She understands about it. My anger gets the best of me. I just could never do it with the kids. And we think that's wrong. We think the dad, again, needs to be very involved because of Ephesians 6. Hebrews 12, you have that later on the outline. We'll read from it. But Hebrews 12 talks about God disciplining us, and God is our father. And so the father for 5,900 years has been the primary discipliner of the home, right? The disciplinarian. And now, even in early 1900s and probably all the way through maybe World War II, that was kind of the case, is the father was the main disciplinarian. But due to vices and due to losing moral high ground and due to women kind of taking that leadership, I think it's
abdication
was
the best way to put
abdication.
It.
Yeah. And so we want to bring that back. And so as we get into it.
Yeah, read some of these stats, Joe. Yeah. These are very interesting. I just, pulled these from just some research I did online. Very interesting.
Yeah. Parents in the United States are significantly less likely to use spanking to discipline their children than their peers of 25 years ago, according to a University of Minnesota study published recently. I think in the last month that was published. The study reports that the proportion of parents with children ages 2 to 12 who say they spank their children dropped from 50% in 1993 to 35% in 2017. Fathers and mothers are both spanking less. The share of men who say they use spanking as punishment fell from 52% to 36% during the study period, while the share of women dropped from 48% to 35%.
So essentially in 93, about half on average of the parents in the United States were totally cool with and did spank their children. What is that, 9 years ago now, 2017, that number dropped all the way to 35%.
Almost one in three.
And you'd imagine it's probably either right around there or a little bit lower now, nine years later.
I agree. I think it's gotten even lower. I do think maybe there's a shift coming back where people are realizing maybe the importance of it, but there's also a lot of trauma experts and therapists and such that are huge in my field that say it's very detrimental on the kid. And so we want to get into that a little bit of why we think spanking is right. But I think that is that's a key statistic to show, has the world gotten better over that time? Have kids grown, are we better off for the lack of spanking? And for those
into a public school classroom and you tell me if you think taking spanking away has been beneficial or not.
I mean, there's a time where like the public school teacher could spank you or the principal could spank you, which is a bit much. And that's another question we'll get to here, whether other people should be able to discipline. But man, you go from that where kids were respectful and kids would get in trouble for like chewing gum in school. I have a buddy who's a teacher who literally has like chairs and scissors thrown at him from these other kids that he's teaching, 6 and 7 year olds. There's no recourse, and their parents aren't disciplining them, and it's just a disaster.
There's a lot of people, some people close to us, people we've had conversations with, that are just not fans of spanking. They just don't think it's something that you should do. And it's one of those things, agree or disagree, like they're entitled to that opinion. We're not gonna, we don't think less of them necessarily. I do think the fruits, as you spoke to, Joe, I'm really glad you brought this up, the fruits of taking spanking away and retreating more to timeouts, as we'll get to later, or gentle parenting, or use your words. That parental guidance movie is just hilarious, making fun of it. But I think the fruits of that are being shown right now. Yeah. Like, again, in public, and obviously there's so many other factors that play into it with social media and all that, but from a pure, and we're going to kind of separate discipline and spanking. Obviously, spanking is a part of discipline.
Sure,
we're going to speak from a zoomed out perspective on discipline in general and then a zoomed in perspective on, spanking and all that. But I say that to say, to Joe's point that he was making a second ago, spanking is far less prevalent now, and I do believe kids are worse behaved now than they were 80 years ago or whatever it is.
Well, it's interesting to me because it's like the science tests would say or dictate otherwise that spanking actually is horrible for the kid. Psychologically, attachment-wise, it's terrible for the kid. But the eye test says otherwise.
Yes.
And it's like, I'm going to trust the eye test rather than the experts because the experts get a lot wrong.
No, the experts don't get anything wrong.
Yeah,
Joe,
I mean,
come on.
Very rarely, right? So, yeah, I mean, you look at the experts in whatever field you want to say and all of the science studies that seem to indicate that spanking's wrong. Again, I'm just going to trust my eyeballs and say I don't think kids have gotten better. Now, there's a million and one factors. Can we attribute that all to spanking? No. I mean, social media and everything else contributes, but It's a large portion.
Briefly, before I want to talk about kind of overall what is discipline teach. Because, again, discipline is just so important. I was doing some research on this. You're right, a lot of the kind of experts, so to speak, you know, are opposed to spanking. There are quite a few experts, like people that have degrees and kind of look into this, you know, study this stuff for a living, that are, I wouldn't say fans, they are in support of spanking, if that makes sense. So I don't want anybody to think like all it's 100% of the experts that are opposed to it, but I would say it's a minority. Let's talk about Joe, and I just put these three down. I'm curious if you, off the top of your head, have anything to add to this, and I'm sure you got some thoughts on these. What does discipline teach? Specifically, what does discipline teach a obviously kids of any age range, but specifically we'll talk about our kids' age range, 2 to 7, essentially. The first one that I have, I think, is the most obvious, is discipline teach you, when you discipline your kids, you are teaching them there are consequences for actions. Yep. There are consequences for actions. I think one of the biggest reasons why our society, from a morality perspective, from an immaturity perspective, you see, again, just shooting, like all kinds of things. The reason for that is because there are just thousands, probably millions of kids that grow up without really understanding, oh man, if I do this and this is something that is bad, there is a consequence for that action. Essentially, they are told, they're taught either by example or by lack of teaching, essentially, avoid the consequence. Cannot worry about the consequences. And what discipline does is say, okay, you choose to do that, there will be consequences right for that. If you choose to directly disobey what I say as the parent, you choose to hit your sibling, you choose to talk back, you choose to whatever it is, again, for a younger child, it teaches them, there's a consequence for it making this decision, that, you know, versus, again, somebody that's like, I can kind of do, and you literally see this with kids throwing tantrums in yep. grocery stores, or kids that, again, just are really poorly behaved. They don't really understand that, I can't do this because there's a consequence right. for it. And this one is huge to me. Like,
oh, yeah.
My 4-year-old knows if he does something, I'll tell a story. One day he'll look back at this and laugh, hopefully. So we were about to leave our house. I'd put on the songs that he wanted to listen to or whatever. And it's so funny. We have one of those mounts that we set our phone up on, right? Well, Jackson likes to, and he can't even read. It's so weird, but he likes us to click the lyrics button so that he can just watch the words go down. I don't really know. It's like, Jackson, you can't even read. Brooklyn, on the other hand, our 2-year-old, likes to look at the picture of whatever the song is. Well, it was Brooklyn's song, and she wanted to look at the picture. Jackson wanted to look at the words, and I told him, no, it's her song. I got out of the car, walked to, I think, give my youngest, who's like 9 months old, his pacifier. And Jackson was, he'd crossed his arms, and then he looked up and he just hit the window. He just hit the window because he was mad.
Whoops.
Let's just say there was a spanking that took place there. The point is, if I had just kind of brushed that off or said, don't do that, and kind of like, okay, big right. deal, what's my consequence? Right. No, I told him, and we had a great talk after that, like, you can't do that. And I had him memorize Ephesians 4:26 and be angry and don't sound like, you can be angry, that's fine, you can be upset with me, you can't hit the window out of anger, right? Yep. And so it ended up being fine. But my point is, sorry, I'm rambling, Joe.
No,
I'm sure you've got a dozen stories you could give as well. Consequences yes, for actions. You don't just get to do whatever you want and not expect a consequence for actions. If you, again, it's simple, you don't clean your plate, you're not getting dessert. That's just, you know, you can choose that. Sorry, I'm rambling.
No,
thoughts
you're
good on this one. I think this one is just so important.
No, that last teach kids. That last illustration hits home, as you know, with our 6-hour standoff with our second oldest.
Oh man.
Who just refused to eat any of the veggies that we put in front of him. And yeah, on Christmas Day, I was like, just take a bite, and he wouldn't do it.
One bite.
I said, one bite. All you gotta do is just take a bite. I want you to try it. It was really good. I want you to try it. No. Once you try it, no. Once you try it, no. Okay, you're going to sit there. And that went on for, I think, 6.5, 7 hours. And my wife and I took turns. On Christmas Day, it was horrible. He is the least picky kid we have. He will eat anything
that?
And everything. I'm telling you what, if it's put in front of him, and not to an unhealthy level. I mean, he moderates himself very well, but to the level of like, hey, let me give it a shot. And so he tries everything, and he eats spicy stuff, and he eats, you know, Korean. He eats all sorts of stuff, man. Kimchi and Thai curry. He loves coconut Thai curry. So consequences have actions.
Well,
he knew in that moment, and he's learned from that.
Your example, go ahead and get in number 2, because I think your example actually fits in pretty well with this second one as well, that discipline teaches kids.
Yeah, which is submission to authority. And I think you can't have, I love that you put these two back to back, because you can't have one without the other. Like, the consequence for actions is really, like, you see all these people that throw tantrums that quit their jobs or whatever in their 20s, their 30s, even into the 40s. That is because as a young kid, you didn't learn the consequence for actions. You didn't learn to submit to authority. You didn't learn fear of and submission to authority. Yes, I am very afraid of God. That is ultimately what we're doing as parents. We are the ambassadors for God to our kids. He put them in our care. Our job is to teach who He is. And this is what we talked about before, the attachment. Like, your relationship with your dad will mirror your relationship with God. Well, in discipline, you're learning what God does and does not do, and what God tolerates and doesn't. And so the submission to, yes, hierarchy, understanding God's at the head, dad is above me, right? He's above mom, and she's above me. And so we understand where we fit hierarchically. That is a really good structure for a kid to have, boundaries for a kid to have. And the ability to submit to authority goes all the way up to how we act as Christians later in life. Will I be willing to submit to God when I see in the scriptures it says no? Can I accept no, take it as an answer? And with our boss, can we submit to authority and realize he's my boss and I'm not? I don't get to call the shots. And if I'm my own boss, great. But if not, I'm not going to throw a tantrum. I'm not going to leave because I'm upset about X, Y, Z. Like, I'm going to submit to authority. That starts at 2 years old. That starts at 3 years old when you're disciplining your kid.
We really don't like authority as a nation. We're a bunch of individualists. You see Christians who kind of push back on the elders a little bit and kind of try to be their own person. Or obviously, you brought up the work example. We don't like our boss. We don't like the government. Obviously, I got plenty of complaints with the government, but we don't like authority is the point. And so discipline very much teaches, what I thought of with the going back to the consequence for actions, all those people that celebrated Charlie Kirk's death they got fired. It's like, sorry, buddy, you can't do that. Like, that's just what happens when you do something like that. Or the dude that went through the Chick-fil-A drive-thru, remember that story?
Yes. Oh,
and just ripped into the poor girl that was serving him and put it on YouTube and got fired from a very high-paying job. Consequences for actions, submission to authority. The third one, Joe, interesting one. I'm curious your thoughts. One. I think it teaches kids you have free will. It is limited free will.
Yep.
In the sense of you can – this maybe would fit more with the plate example that I was giving. I'll let you decide whether or not you're going to finish your plate or not. However, what you're going to get because of that, you're going to go straight to bed. And again, we're talking very much from the younger kids' perspective, just because that's where we're at. You're not going to get dessert. You're not going to get to do what you want. So sure, I'm giving you free will. It is limited free will. Similarly, I think for the Christian, do we have free will? Absolutely. But I think we have limited free will in the sense of there's only one decision that's going to end well for us.
Right.
Similarly with my kid, there's only one decision that's going to end well for you, and that's finish your plate, right? For us as Christians, sure, we got free will, but it's very limited in the sense of one decision that's going to get us an eternal home in heaven, true happiness, peace, all those things. And so, I don't know, that's kind of the parallel that I saw with our relationship with God or Christianity and with teaching young kids discipline.
Well, it's spot on. God gives us certain options, and we can't go outside of that. It's the same as a parent who goes, okay, you can wear the blue or the red shoes. I want the green. That's not an option.
Right.
You can wear green or red or blue, and I'm going to give you those as options. So you do have a level of choice, but no, you don't have all choices.
Full reign. Yeah.
Correct. God does the same for us. There are choices that we have. We can choose one thing or the other, but I think it goes to submission of authority yet again. All three of these things are tied into it. And understanding our free will doesn't just allow us to do anything and everything. I can't go shoot people without knowing I'm going to go to prison for life, or that I might have capital punishment, right? Like, consequences, but also my free will. Well, I'm not allowed to have free will. Nobody said you were allowed to do everything.
Right.
It means there are certain things that you can and cannot do. And it's a really important thing to learn at a much younger age, so that concept is very, very ingrained in you of my consequences have actions, and it does limit my free will. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. I think you have a lot of people raging against God right now, like a lot of atheists that rage against God because they don't like the fact that they don't truly have full free will. They can't, they don't get to define their life. And people may push back on that concept, but ultimately they don't submit to authority. They don't understand the consequences of actions, especially hell. They rage against that. And of course, with the limited free will, they want to say that they're God. Well, they're not. And Romans 1 tells us this entire progression. But I wanted to pivot out of that because there's some things we specifically wanted to get to. We're going to discuss some parenting styles and then kind of a little more on
what's
the,
our time at, Joe?
We're
split this
minutes.
Into two episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Because this next section that he's on the outline, he put on there, this is all original to Joe. super interesting to me. I'm very fascinated by this. So, Joe, I don't know if you want to just plow through them or kind of go one by one, but sure, I'm curious about this.
Let's get through it, see where we're at.
Yeah, sounds good. Part two.
But we have different parenting styles, and you'll notice this if you sit back and you just look at all of the parents that you know. Every parent at church or at work or whatever it may
probably
be,
falls into one of these.
Is going to fall into one of these. Mm. And so just take a second, you know, as we list these, maybe Will can put it on the screen. As we list these, that's what I'd say is see if you can identify people in your life that fit this. The first is helicopter parenting. They talk about being a helicopter parent, meaning safety is the goal. Like, I want to know everything.
There's a goal attached to each one of these.
There's a goal attached for why you do it. So in helicopter parenting, it is basically like, I want to know every text he sends. I want to know everywhere that he is. I want to, especially for older kids. And I want to be involved in every last thing. And so the kid doesn't have a lot of free will. He doesn't have a lot of freedom to do much.
You see it with little kids like at the playground or something.
Correct. Right? Yeah. He's not allowed to go on that because little Johnny might get hurt or whatever. And so there's the helicopter. You're just trying to keep your kids safe. And you can understand the reasoning behind it, but it really stunts a kid's growth when the kid doesn't feel. I literally was just working with a guy who is much older in life, and one of his core struggles was when he was younger, his parents never really let him do anything. The mom kind of ran the show. She was afraid of everything, and so he couldn't really climb trees. He couldn't go out and you know, do jumps off of a bike ramp. He couldn't do any of those things because she just wouldn't allow it. And his dad would tell stories of all the things he got to do, and he's like, how's that fair, you know? This affects you later in life as you realize, man, my parents were helicopters. They didn't let me go outside of their purview so as to create safety.
So I'll give the second one again. These are original to Joe, so I'm not jumping his territory here. But that way he doesn't have to just talk the whole time. The second one that we've got on our list is not a familiar term. Helicopter parenting is a familiar term. Like, you probably heard of that. The second one is snowplow parenting. I think that I like. Was that original to you, or is that?
No, this is somebody else. The idea, and then I'll get back to you. The idea is that you plow every problem out of the kid's way.
Yeah, where comfort is the goal. Maybe less about safety, more about comfort. You're just removing obstacles for them. I would imagine a lot of ultra wealthy parents might fall into this category of, I'm going to take away the obstacle for my kid. I'm going to make sure that, you know, they make the team. I'm going to make sure that they, you know, never have any issues, you know, buy them a car, like all those things where removing obstacles is what comes to mind for
me. Yeah. I'll get a maid so the kid doesn't have to make his bed, doesn't have to clean his room, or even the mom will go in and do it for him. Oh, I know he's busy. You know, he's got a lot going on.
So certainly doesn't make him get a job in high school. Like, not that kind of parent.
Right. Basically. No chores, you know, because, well, man, he's busy.
Comfort
kid.
Is the goal.
Yeah. Comfort's the goal. You're looking for, well, I'll just do it for him. And you see this because, and you know this, I'm sure, like, we're coming into this as parents. It's really difficult to step back and let your kids do something. It's like, get out of the way. Just let me do it. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, the kids learn how to tie a shoe, or the kids learn how to do whatever it is, and I can just do it for him, and it's going to take
me 3 seconds.
2 seconds. Yeah. Or it's going to take 2 minutes for him, and I really don't have 2 minutes. You know, you're looking at the clock. So snowplow parenting is, yeah, my comfort, really. Yes, comfort for the kid, but ultimately when you think about it, it's your comfort. You would rather just do it for him, get out of the way. You don't have to experience any pushback, anything like that. Also really unhealthy for the kid, because the kid needs to have a little sandpaper, right? He needs a little friction. He needs to learn what he can and cannot do and what he's good at. And so, you know, even with chores and things like that, we now know chores are a big part of creating a healthy home where the kid feels like he has a part in the home. I play a part. My family needs me. So chores are really healthy to give kids for that reason. And so when they go, well, just don't even worry about it. Like, what's my role here? What do I do in the home? Mom and dad run the home. And this is why we have so many individualistic kids, is a lot of snowplow parenting.
That's really good.
Get us into the third one, though, because I know you're familiar with this one.
I am, and I want you to do for number four, because that one's fascinating to me, too. You probably heard of this one as well, gentle parenting. Gentle parenting has been, and I would say was certainly in the cultural zeitgeist several years ago, respect, quote-unquote, is the goal. Respect is the goal for this one. You see, it's kind of turned into a bit of an online joke now at this point. Memes and reels and stuff kind of make fun of gentle parents. I would say it's not near as popular now, even as it was 5 years ago. But essentially, once again, the goal is for your child needs to be heard, right? They're certainly opposed to spanking. It's more of a, you know, mutual respect, child to parent, parent to child. Letting them express their emotions. It's, again, like some of those videos you see where they'll exaggerate. It's like they'll hit the parent and be like, I'm sorry you feel that way. Like that kind of thing, where not much authority is put forth. Certainly not much control. It's just, honestly, I mean, gentle, obviously, is what it's called. The child kind of gets to do whatever they please under the guise of we want them to be able to express their emotions. We want to make sure that they don't feel like they're forced to have to do anything.
We respect their individuality.
We respect their individuality. It's like, he's three. What are you talking about? Sorry, go ahead. I'm sure you got thoughts on this one.
God put you in charge for a reason. Like, if he wanted to create a bunch of Adam and Eves that were born as you know, adults, he'd do that. Of course, and you think about that, even as you know, Jesus came into the world, he came in as a baby. There's a beauty in childhood.
Yep.
But no doubt, this is the importance of Mary. No, we don't venerate Mary the way the Catholics do, but this is the importance of Mary to say, yeah, she's a pretty important woman that she gets to raise Jesus Christ. She gets to raise the Son of God. God gave parents their children for a reason, and it's not to just let the kid be one of us. He's not an adult, and it's really good for him to know he's not an adult. No, my kid does not get as much respect as I do, because respect is earned.
Yep.
He does not get to disrespect
or the privileges that I have.
Correct. Yeah. You know, we will use terms that, you know, are more, we don't cuss, but, you know, some terms, say the word crap or something along those lines. My kids will say, it's like, you can't say it. Well, you say it like, there are things you can do as an adult that inappropriate, try not to use that all the time, but like if there are certain areas, we can talk about it because like you don't have the privilege to do that. And no, I don't have to respect my kid in every way. Do I think his emotions are important? Absolutely.
It's a lot about fairness too, isn't it? Like, well, there's a lot fair of to the kid.
Yeah. Exactly. What's fair? Like, well, that's an arbitrary thing as well, but it's not that I don't listen to my kid. It's not that I don't love my kid or that I don't want to know what he has to say. But when he's got huge emotions and it's like, oh, well, we're just going to respect that he's got big emotions right now, and they use terms like that, like he's throwing a tantrum. So if you really ask yourself, what does he need in this tantrum? Kids push boundaries. That's the purpose of being a kid, is to push boundaries and figure out how far can I go. Gentle parenting basically has no boundaries. It is, again, respecting the kid and how the kid determines what the boundaries are. Kids don't determine the boundaries. You as the parent do. So, yeah, we could talk on gentle parenting probably for an entire episode. It is a horrible thing, and you're right. I think it's coming down a little bit because it is such a joke, and there's so many parodies online of people doing it.
People
and even people that aren't funny. Trying to be a parody, they post it and think they're great and get roasted in the comments, like, as you should.
Next one, Joe, and then I'll go to number five. Yeah.
There you go. Number four is free-range parenting, where independence is the goal. So free-range parenting is letting your kids just basically run free. You know, do whatever they want. I heard somebody who, they literally dropped the kid off at a cabin with his buddy at 12 for a week.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. And like took a...
So the opposite of helicopter parenting, correct. Basically.
This is back in the day, but it's like, hey, independence is a goal. Kind of let them do what they're going to do. They're out in the woods. They're making their own stuff. And sometimes it's an incredible thing what the kids are able to do. On the other hand, they also need to know there are boundaries here, and not boundaries from the same as gentle parenting, but boundaries in terms of like, independence is a great thing, but you have to know how to work within the system too. And I think the parents that kind of practice free range, and I don't want to, you know, speak ill or not do it justice for anybody that does practice free range, but a lot of times it's with the goal of like, fear is on the back end. I'm afraid that you won't know how to handle yourself. And so I'm going to make sure that, you know, you do know how to handle yourself. I'm going to put you out in the wilderness and let you survive. The outdoor boys type thing, you know, he does it with them. But those type of things where you want to teach independence, and so often I think it's because, once again, fear is on that back end and they crave independence. It's not a bad thing completely, but kids need to know where they fit in their family structure.
Here's what's so interesting about this. So we've covered five so far, four so far. Safety is the goal of helicopter parenting. Comfort is the goal of snowplow parenting. Respect is the goal of gentle parenting. Independence is the goal of this one. There's four more that we've got. The goal on a lot of these, I think, are really important elements of a child's development and childhood. Safety is really important for a kid. Comfort, maybe not so much. But, I mean, even that, just to some degree. Independence, I do think, is important for children to learn. Again, some of the other ones we got on the list, I'll come back and revisit this point. My point is, like, they are important elements. They should not be the goal. That's the difference, the way that I would articulate that is... these can't be the objective. They can be part of the main objective or part of the journey, part of the structure. Safety can't be the number one goal. Comfort certainly can't be the number one goal. Independence can't be the number one goal. And so it just kind of struck me as I was looking through these, like these are, a lot of these are valuable and important. They just can't be the number one goal is how I would put
Absolutely.
That. Number five, permissive. Permissive parenting. This is where basically your own parental likability is the goal. These parents are typically the ones that, you know, try to be cool, listen to their music, watch whatever, you know, like, did you catch the latest episode of XYZ? You know, pretty much let them have whatever apps on their phone, no restrictions, again, very permissive, no curfew, like, The goal is I kind of want to be viewed as the fun parent. I want the fun mom or the fun dad. I want to be viewed as the hip parent or whatever it is. And listen, I can't speak to that yet because my kids aren't teenagers. I'm sure it is cool to have your kids like you and treat you as a friend or a buddy. That ain't your job. Like, that's not your job is when you have a 15-year-old to be their, you know, their Snapchat streak friend. Like, that's not your job. And so I think, and we've talked about this before, Joe, and I'll let you go off on this one. And once again, this is one where parental likability, sure, that can be an element of it. That certainly cannot be the goal of you and your kids. This is one that when your kid hits 25 and y'all want to be buddies on something, that's a whole lot better. But if you start that process at 10 years old where you're like, okay, you see things through the lens of how can I get my kid to like me?
Yeah.
Man, that's you're going to go down a wrong path because you're just going to allow – they're going to push the boundaries and you're going to allow them to do whatever they want to do.
I think there are three phases of parenting. There's the disciplinarian phase, the mentor phase, and the friendship phase. And I think the discipline phase is probably up until the kid leaves the house, maybe 16, you know, at that point. I think you probably need to transition toward the mentor phase, which is where you're going to be. It's less about the discipline. It's more about really important concepts, you know, and important conversations, having a back and forth, taking a road trip with your son and imparting wisdom to him and things like that. And then as he gets into college and past college, dad, what should I do for a job? Where do we go? You know, those type of things. You want to be a mentor for your kid. I really think you're probably midway through your 30s, pushing 40 before that friendship should come in, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you're not your parents. You don't have enough life experience to be your parents. And until, like, even now, the respect for my dad is pretty high. I'm 31 years old. I have four kids of my own. My dad and I are probably shifting closer out of the mentor toward the friend right now. There's still years to go, I think, where I'm going to call my dad all the time for like, hey, I need this. Need some help with this. I need advice. Even help on the house. You know, come over and help me or whatever it may be. We spent a ton of time with them recently due to the storms and such. And so I think those phases matter. But when you're trying to move your kid out of the discipline phase into the mentor or friendship phase too soon, you're doing him a disservice. And I think the permissive is an attempt to do that. And maybe instead of parental likability, maybe I should have put parental acceptance. I think it's really based in a fear of rejection. The parent is really afraid of the kid rejecting them or thinking that they're less than. And if you faced rejection before, my favorite is attachment wounds, right? If you faced rejection before, then your kids are an extension of like, I can't have them reject me. I'm very afraid of rejection. Whereas if you're very grounded, it's like, I don't think my kids will reject me. If they do, I know how to handle that. I know what to do in this situation. If you feel that you're at a loss concerning rejection, you faced it from friends, you faced it from family, then yes, parental likability and permissiveness is going to be there because you feel like boundaries will lose you that love. They'll lose you that acceptance. So it's really based in insecure parents that I feel bad for in this moment, you know, in this particular parenting style. Number six.
Joe, let's blaze through the last three.
Yep.
And then I think we're going to have to make a part two.
We're going to have to make part two. We're at 34 minutes.
So. Again, just to me, this is a super fascinating conversation. So hopefully it is to you as well. Yeah, but Joe, sorry.
And we got some good stuff in the next episode too, so stay tuned.
Again, we'll zoom in on the spanking a little bit more and you know, talk a little bit more about some maybe tough questions to answer and stuff like that.
Yeah. So number six is neglectful. And I honestly struggle when I was putting this whole thing together because I've had this together for a little while. I was trying to figure out what is the goal of neglectful parenting. The parents that, and the what I put down is parental selfishness being the goal.
I think that sums it up pretty well.
The parents want what they want. They didn't necessarily want kids, or the kids are viewed as an inconvenience. They're viewed as fine, you know, I guess I need to type of thing. And sometimes they don't even do that. And so neglectful parenting is very cold. It's the parents that are always on the phone instead of, you know, actually needing or giving the kids what they need. The parents that in some cases it's truly like neglectful.
I think this is the saddest one.
It is the saddest. And man, I feel so bad for any kid that's facing neglect in this situation because what the kid realizes is mom and dad is more important than I am. You know,
their hobbies, their needs, their wants,
everything.
Or whatever,
And so the kid ends up in a lot of these situations, avoidant attachment comes into this, in a lot of these situations where the kid ends up trying to be the emotional support for the parent. And because the parents are neglectful and they're just trying to get any sort of acceptance, validation, love, belonging, attention from their parents. And so sometimes kids can go way off the deep end. Sometimes kids can become very secure to the parent. And that's anxious attachment where you don't want to leave the parent's side because you're afraid they're not going to come back. You know, the neglect is there. And so attachment gets ruined in this one, but I think it really comes down to parents just looking to be selfish and not stepping up to meet the parental goals that they should have.
I said we were going to blaze through and I have another story to tell. went to dinner with my wife, date night, just the two of us. First one, just the two of us since Austin was born, actually.
Nice.
One of my goals for at least once a month, which is not a lot, but hey. Went out to eat, and family came in. It was a mom and a dad, four kids, maybe five. Four kids ranging, of course, I didn't ask them their ages, sure, but ranging from, I'm going to say 17 down to like eight. 10 and 14 year old, all not just had iPads in front of them, had headphones on, like not AirPods, headphones in this restaurant, staring at their, you know, tablet or iPad or whatever it was. And then the final older kid, or again, like I'm talking like a 14 year old. This girl looked 14 years old, and then was just kind of people watching and stuff. Not a lot of conversation going on. Mom and dad were on their phone a bit. And I know that's like a trope that we talk about a lot. It's really, really sad. Like me and Rachel, of course, we're enjoying our time together, having a great time. And to look over and see this family that has four kids, I think it was at least four or five, and no conversation. Certainly, of course, no discipling or anything like that. They have headphones on in the middle of a restaurant. That's kind of what this one speaks. And obviously it goes beyond just the restaurant. This is the parent that just literally doesn't care what their kid is doing with their free time and all that. But like, man, how sad is that?
Yeah.
That is just conversation, no raising them. Like, I'm a big believer, if you're married and you're a Christian, you need to be having kids. Like, you don't need to, no, not for me. No, it should be for you. At the same time, I would also ask, man, if that's how you're going to raise them, why'd you have them? Like,
yeah,
what's
that's
the point?
Exactly,
you
know? That's so sad, because that's exactly what's going through my mind. Why have kids in the first place? Kids are a blessing if you raise them. Kids are a curse, and you're a curse to your kids if you let them run free. And so when we talk about that, this is what's on the line, is I'm sure that dad, if he was our age, I'm sure if he looked to the future, it'd be like, and he saw himself walk in, you know, another person walk in like that, it'd been like, oh, that's really sad. And yet he didn't do anything to change it.
Yeah.
Nobody looks at that as the ideal. It just slowly happens over time, because you don't have the hard conversations. Maybe you're a little selfish in this moment. Maybe you're a little neglectful, or you're you know, just trying to do everything for your kids. And so just stick the iPad. It's easier, you know.
And again, these weren't 3-year-olds. These were like 8, 10, 14-year-olds.
Even 3-year-olds don't stick the iPad. Help the kid learn. Church is a great way to learn this, but going out to eat, help the kid learn. Like, this is what we do out here. So neglectful parenting, that's, again, it is the saddest. Get us into number 7.
Authoritarian parenting is the next one. This is where control is the goal. These are the dictator parents. These are the, honestly, way too many boundary parents. These are the, I've got a rule for every single thing. I'm going to, again, basically just dictate every, and the problem with this is, because this is one I do think is actually a little bit more common in Christian circles. This typically, from my experience, does lead to kids, once they hit 18, they are out of there.
Yeah.
Either that, or they find ways to sneak around and test the boundaries. And not even test the boundaries, go way beyond the boundaries. These are typically the kids that sleep with their boyfriend or girlfriend, that get into stuff they shouldn't, because they feel like their parents are just so, again, trying to control every single thing. Nobody likes that. Like, nobody at any age, under any circumstance, likes to feel like every single thing about them is being controlled. And so, again, I know that's the worst case scenario of the kid kind of going crazy or doing stuff they shouldn't, but I don't know if you've seen that in your experience, but I know that's what I've seen.
I would agree with that big time. It is different from helicopter parenting in that, yes, helicopter parenting can seem very controlling, but truly safety is the goal. And they talk to their kids about that, keeping them safe and things like that. And in this one, there's not a lot of talking. It's do as I say, you know, because I told you so is kind of
not a lot of why.
Not a lot of why, nothing like that. And it's less about the safety, more about I don't want to give over control in this moment. And most parents aren't going to tell themselves that. They may convince themselves it's safety. But if you look back, it's like, what does my kid tangibly control in life? And if it's not much, maybe you've got too much control in this situation. Because the goal is to raise them up unto the Lord and to raise them to where they're good citizens. You know, they can think for themselves. They can act on their own. You don't want to create a 3-year-old stepping in an 18-year-old's body. You also don't want to create a kid that at 12 wants to take the control of a 30-year-old because he feels so controlled. He wants to just get out of the house. There are kids that end up running away from these homes because they can't stand it. They're trying to find some control. And so, man, don't be that parent.
Get us in the last one, Joe.
Yeah, last one is authoritative parenting. This is the correct one. Love
authoritarian was the previous one. Authoritative is this
correct
one.
Yeah. You are authoritative. Like, hierarchy's key. Everybody knows who you know, the parents are in the home. But there's a lot of love. There's warmth. There's most of these things. There is safety and comfort and respect and, you know, independence and things like that. But it's done from a loving perspective where the authority structure is in place, but there's also a lot of warmth going along with this. There's a rubric that I've shown Will before of high warmth, low warmth, high expectation, or low expectation, high expectation.
A matrix, basically. Yeah.
A matrix, yeah. Low expectation, low warmth is neglectful. Low expectation with high warmth is permissive. Low warmth with high expectation is authoritarian. And you want the high warmth with high expectation, which is authoritative. Like, I expect a lot of my kids. I think they can reach for the moon, but I'm also going to give them the support to help them in that and to let them know, like, hey, you belong here, and I do love you even if you fail, but you absolutely are going to try. And I think that's where authoritative kind of shines.
Yeah. This is one that, again, you said it, like, love is the goal. As with some of these other ones, they're great parts of the structure. They need to be – safety needs to be an element of your parenting independence. And, you know, I would say you need to have some control over your kids. Like, we just spent a lot of time talking about the control aspect is bad. But, like, the goal does need to be love. And the love stems from, I know what's best for you.
Yeah.
I know what's best for you. I'm 25 years older than you or whatever it is. I'm doing this out of love. I'm not doing it because I want to control you. I'm not doing it because, you know, I want you to be comfortable. I'm not doing it because I want to just further my own selfishness. I'm doing it because I love you. If that's the motivation, if that's the goal, that's where you, again, you can have those high expectations. I have very high expectations of my kids. I mean, they're, again, four. My oldest is four. But my point is, like, I do have high expectations of them, and that will continue. I also, you know, aim to have a very high warmth home with my kids. Yep. And so, yeah, I don't have a lot of thoughts.
And what's best for them, when we talk about what's best for them, there's a lot of parents that think they're doing what's best for their kids, but it's not grounded in anything other than what they think.
Sure.
Right? Or what the experts say. And experts change their minds every decade. You know, there's something new coming out. We ground it in the Word of God. Are you raising your children up unto the Lord? Are you giving them the best chance to have a walk with God, to be faithful, to be well-functioning, high, you know, high-achieving adults who strive for greatness? That's why we talk about this, is we have an opportunity to create and, you know, to help raise kids up unto the Lord that strive for greatness, that go out and do amazing things for Him. What an opportunity. You know, what a blessing. And so we hope this has helped. We're going to have part two.
We did not plan to make this two parts.
Not in the least. This was 43 minutes.
This was not one we wanted to rush through. Obviously, we have not rushed through it at all. but what we're going to do with the next episode, we're going to bring a little bit more of the Bible in. What does the Bible say about specifically spanking? But discipline in general, we're going to talk about, again, as I previewed, maybe some questions that have to do with just discipline, spanking in general, but also just what are some principles that we can learn. So maybe a little bit more practical, a little bit less theoretical, but I hope you've enjoyed that. I certainly haven't. I mean, it's our podcast, I suppose, but I've enjoyed it just because I do, like you said, Joe, you can kind of picture different parents as you're going through that list.
Yeah. No, it's been fun, and thank you for letting me do this. I added that kind of last second. So, you know, just on some of these parenting styles, and wasn't sure how I was going to play out. I thought I might blaze through those, but I'm glad we took a little time. Hopefully that made some sense. And
but we'll be back next week to cover, again, zoom in on the spanking a little bit. And just, we don't do a lot of part twos, so it'll be fun. But as Joe said at the start, join us for CYC. Click on the link to join the Discord in the description.
Buy some merch.
Subscribe, like, rate, review, comment on Spotify, all those things. We really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week.